Hello and welcome to Conversation Street, episode 154, the Coronation Street podcast, where we're going to be talking about the episodes broadcast between the 15th and the 19th of June in the UK. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael. Hello, everybody.
Why are you so
welcome
happy?
Welcome to episode. I don't know, you sounded quite happy to start off today.
Well, it's because I'm happy to begin.
Yeah, I'm also happy to begin. Yeah, and we're going to have a curry night tonight, aren't we? That's quite something to look forward to.
I know, but I've got a day's worth of cooking to do, darling, and the kitchen looks like a bomb's nest.
I didn't do the washing up yesterday, even though last week you were saying how good I was.
Yeah, I wasn't. Oh, well, this is just showing me right up.
I'll do it later, I promise.
Oh, when?
I don't know, because we also have to go
exactly.
To
Anyway. Historically, what went on in the past week?
Okay, 50 years since Janice Battersby was born. Happy birthday, Janice.
The big 5-0.
Yes.
40 years since Betty heard the ghost of Martha Longhurst. Was that good? In the Rover Snug. And Tony Horrocks was born.
Yes.
Not related.
Not it wasn't that.
Makes it sound a bit like she just popped him out of fright.
No.
No, she didn't.
Well, yeah, Betty wasn't Tony Horrocks' mum.
I know, that was a joke.
Oh.
You didn't get it. 10 years since the first appearance of Lloyd Mullany.
I can't believe that he's been in it 10 years. Can you?
No.
He seems to me to be a recent character.
I know,
even though
I do
he's clearly
think
not.
He's like the special guest star.
So do I, exactly. Special guest starring Craig
he's
Charles.
Quite
because...
the big name in the UK,
though. So, 10 years in it, brilliant.
5 years since the first appearance of Charlotte Hoyle.
Hang on a minute, you missed one. And Claire got a job at Streetcars.
I also
that
missed
week.
Out saying the first appearance of Lloyd Mullany's first appearance.
Oh, yeah, I
thought
I read
I'd
cover
for your poor notebook writing.
I think it might. Yeah.
Him and Claire got a job at Streetcars.
Yes.
That's the end of that. 5 years since the first appearance of Charlotte Hoyle, who meets John Stape at a teaching conference, who had taken Colin Fishwick's identity.
Yes. I loved
that. And Tina McIntyre kisses Graham, which apparently is really big news.
That was Tina and Graham. She
yes,
should have just
lovely.
Stayed with him. Good old reliable Graham.
Good old Graham. 15 years since Liz Dawn was awarded an MBE.
Yes.
She hasn't stopped talking about it since.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
15 years, blimey.
I want one of those, please, for
you
podcasting.
You cannot have one. No.
Why? Why?
Queen doesn't listen to podcasts.
Well, she might do. You don't know. She loves Coronation Street.
Oh.
Hello, Liz. Right, on to Street Talk.
Okay, let's start off with Street Talk then. I would say my summary of the week was that it started very strongly and it got a little bit worse as the week went on.
A little bit worse.
Because Bradley behaving madly stuff, which we're going to start off with first, is brilliant. Although I'm extremely sad to see the end of that storyline. It seems to have come too soon, although she's been in it 5 months.
They just went, that's the end of that. Let's move on with our
I know
lives.
That happens sometimes with storylines, doesn't it? It builds up, and then just over with like that. It's like, oh, sad.
How
but it was a good episode on Monday. And then, some of the other stuff wasn't amazing.
Well, Rebel Alia was quite... I enjoyed that, actually. That was mostly on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that was quite good.
I didn't like her, I'm going to be petulant at the factory idea.
I didn't mind that.
She's kind of like... had all of her Wild Child Rebellion in one day, which is kind of a shame.
I think it's mostly interesting from a religious point of view.
Yes.
And the fact that, it was...
It was Ramadan.
Ramadan.
And what I was saying to you, I wonder if they're going to mention Ramadan, because I don't know why, but I've been thinking about it recently.
Yeah.
I think it's been in the news a bit more that Ramadan's starting.
Well, I knew it at school today, there were some children that were fasting today. But yeah, not even water.
Not even water.
But you can have a glass of large white wine and nookie.
Yes, you can. No, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. That's why she's guilty about that.
Then we have the paternity dispute, which has just kind of cooled off. Death's Divas, and finally, the most ridiculous storyline of maybe the last 6 months, Rip Off Britain. We'll get to all that in a minute, but first of all, we're going to start off Britain with Jenny. So on Monday, they're missing, aren't they?
Yeah, she went off on Friday, and we kind of assumed, we said last week that we thought that Friday's episode might build on from Monday's,
Jenny
but
and
they've just been
Jenny
chilling
and
the weekend, haven't they?
Are missing. Everyone's sad. Rita's like, oh, you know that she wouldn't hurt him. And Kevin's like, well, why would she put me through this? And Sophie's like, oh, I told you so. And Kim's like, can you shut up, please?
She hasn't been as insufferable as we thought that she might be, Sophie, has she?
It's because she's been beaten down by Maddie's death. Thank goodness. The police arrive and say, right, nothing's happened. We've got no real update, but we're here to tell you a bit of plot. We're here to tell you about what happened to her real son.
Speaking of which, it's his birthday today, isn't it? He was a bit four.
He was four. Jack and Jenny has prepared a creepy birthday party for him.
I want to know who she was thinking of inviting to this party, because there's enough food on there to feed, like...
Maybe she's like me and she just over caters for all occasions.
That's what Gemma's worried about tonight, aren't you?
I'm not... What do you mean worried?
You're worried that we've got to quite a lot of curry tonight.
I'm not worried about that. You're going to manage it, are you? No, I told you. I'm worried about how I'm going to get it all cooked. Oh. Not how I'm going to eat it. Well, somehow, that's a simple matter.
Somehow Jenny's been able to put together this amazing party for Tom.
Tom, who died in April 2013, according to...
Yeah, and we found out at last the causes behind it, and we thought it was drowning, and it was. And it was really tragic, wasn't it, the way it happened? And it sounded like you could completely sympathise with
happened?
Everyone involved. He was there in his paddling pool, so she went inside to get some money for ice cream, because she had the ice cream van, and she didn't even go and get the ice cream, she just got the money, and then when she
That's
came back, he was dead.
That's the part of the whole story.
It is, it's really, really sad. I mean, she obviously acted it very well. No ice cream. It was the saddest part of the story.
Yeah.
Well, right. Maybe she had a consolation ice cream while the ambulance arrived. 99.
It was accidental, the police say, so there's no reason to think she would hurt Jack.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Sally says, just because she wasn't convicted doesn't mean she didn't do it.
Mm.
Good old
Any
Sally.
Excuse for
Voice
a dig.
Of reason, yeah. Now, Jack's not really excited about having a birthday party for a dead child, and so Jenny gets mad at him when he won't join in and tears everything down and sends him to his room.
I love Jack on Monday because the little boy that plays him was just like...
I'm not into this, guys. I'm not feeling this thing. What's my motivation?
She sends him off to his room and he's like, okay. And all the bits later where the balcony scene and everyone's like, look at Jack, he's so upset, you need to give him back to me.
Jack's just like, when am I getting my paycheck for this?
This is the worst
gig I've ever worked for.
Yeah. They did their best around him.
Yeah, they do. So what happens after that?
Rita arrives, doesn't she? She's like, hello, I just wonder if you've heard anything.
Oh, yeah. She says... Rita says, oh... What is it?
No, Rita's going on to number 13, and she says she's really sad about what's happened to Jenny and everything. And then she gets this phone call, doesn't she? Because she's there with Rita, with Karen. She thinks it's Norris, but it's actually Jenny, who's having a bit of a pang of conscience, really. And she's realised that she's gone a bit too far, doesn't she? Rita's like, it's okay, I won't bring anyone there.
As long as Jack's fine, nothing bad is going
to
happen.
Well, yeah, well, that's what she's trying to get out of her, isn't she? And Jenny doesn't really want to reveal the information, or she's too upset to reveal it. So Rita says she's going to pack herself up and go to Hull. Not filmed in Hull, by the way.
I was like, this is definitely Hull. If there's any place in the world that's Hull, this is it.
It was not.
They managed to find the most Hullish place in the whole of Great Britain outside of Hull, and I commend them for that.
What embodies Hull for you?
Tower block.
Yeah.
quite a nice apartment, actually.
Yeah, that was quite nice.
So she says, oh, yeah, I'll come and get you. And Jenny says, only if it's just you. So Rita says, come on, Kevin, let's go. And Sophie says, I'm going to phone the police. This is ridiculous. And they argue with her. It's not a good idea because it would scare her.
Emergency service here, a load of rubbish. Remember the fire crew the other day that took half an hour to...
I'll ring them now and they'll be here in time to scrape them off the floor. So they're like, no, we can't take the risk. So Jenny's on the balcony, she's got balloons with Tom's name on them, and she releases them, sobs, and tells Jack they'll be together forever. The car comes with everyone in it, and Rita says, I'm going to go in. She starts really sympathising. This is the first time she starts to sympathise with what Jenny's going through, I think. She's saying, oh, it must be terrible to lose a child. She hasn't lost a child, has she?
Rita's never had a child.
She feels like she's speaking from experience, but she's not. She's just very
she's
good
just
at
very
empathising with people.
Yeah.
So she goes, well, I'm going in by myself. You stay here.
Jenny, I've got no idea what it's like to lose a child.
No, I couldn't possibly imagine.
It was even more grating this week, Kevin, forgetting about his son.
So Jenny looks out the window and somehow she can see that Rita's brought other people, but I couldn't...
Well, I just assumed she got out of the passenger side or something.
Yeah, see, she's clever. I would have been like, oh, good, she came by herself.
I can't even remember whether Rita's
driving anyway. I should really
tell
her about the indoor parking. She's going to get a ticket. So he stays there.
Yeah.
She goes in and says, oh my god, why are you having a birthday party? And immediately Jenny's like, I told you,
Rita's
come
just
alone.
Embarrassed, like, oh, I brought a present.
I didn't even get a card. So Rita says, can I see Jack? And it looks for a minute like Jenny might have murdered him because she starts crying.
Yeah, she's like she dropped off the balcony or something.
Yeah. Risa says, I had to bring Kevin because he was there when you phoned me. I didn't have any choice. You would have done the same if somebody had taken Tom. Denny's like, oh, it was an accident. I'll kill him. I didn't kill him. Straight away, because if you say Tom to her, that's what she says. And Risa says, I know. The police told us. It's nobody's fault. Can you imagine? I can't imagine the pain that you're going through, but this isn't right. You've got to give me Jack. And she starts calling for Jack. Can he come out and says, I want to go home? And Jenny says, no, this is your home. Rita's like, oh, it goes deeper than I thought.
So when Jenny phoned up Rita earlier, I kind of thought then, so has she come to her senses? But this scene was obviously not.
I think she must have regretted phoning her immediately and then tried to get out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, meanwhile, Sophie and Kevin have decided that it's been long enough up there, so they're going to phone the police. Rita rushes in.
Kevin runs in. Well, Kevin Rita says, I'm going to take Jack back. And Jenny goes, oh no, Tom would have been 7 today. I should have looked after him.
Wasn't he seven? I thought it was 4.
No, he was 4 years old and he died, Michael.
Oh, yes.
God, you don't know anything about dead children, do you? They continue to age. Rita says, I care about you. So does Kevin. And she goes, oh, will Kevin ever forgive me? And Rita's like, yeah, why not? And this is when Kevin comes in. And
banging on the door.
So. And he's pretty mad. And Jenny runs onto the balcony with Jack to escalate the situation right into the break.
You did think that she was going to jump off, didn't you? You told me.
I hope she doesn't jump off. Wouldn't it just be our luck that she jumped off? Because we spent the whole time going, I wonder if she's going to be in it again. We really like her. I hope they extend her contract. And Sally Ann Matthews just kind of like, if you say anything like that to her on Twitter, she kind of goes, oh, thank you. And I can just imagine her sitting there going, ha, 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 I'm jam. I'm human jam. I'm never going to be in it again, you fools. But no, she didn't die. That's a spoiler. She didn't die.
They're certainly looking like she's threatening it, doesn't she? Because she's like, yeah, we're going to stay together and everything.
Yeah, she's on the balcony with the kid.
Sophie comes
long drop. It is quite a high up.
Block of apartments. Yeah. Yes. You can see the Trafford Centre. Like, I mean, whatever's in Hull from there.
5 stories up or more.
Yeah,
I
reckon. Then Sophie comes up, makes it worse. Because Kevin's trying to like reason with her and everything, and he's still saying, oh, I still forgive you, and doesn't he? He's like, obviously, that's what you do in the hostage situation. It's all going to be fine.
It's all fine. Just give me the child.
Just give me the child, then we'll be friends again. No.
Or the diamonds, or the money, or whatever they're holding us. Or the dog. Oh, give me the dog. Don't hurt the dog.
I like the bit.
They should have a dog hostage situation.
Hostage? Yeah, with Eccles.
Hand Eccles over and everything will be fine. No, we want to be together. Me and Eccles forever.
Splat. I liked it when she started singing The Wheels on the Bus to Jack. That was creepy, wasn't it?
That was the highlight. That was the creepy highlight.
Then that's when you know that it's like totally gone nuts.
Yeah, she kind of provides her own creepy soundtrack for narrating the story of Tom's death. Saying about she went to go and get some money for some ice cream. And when she came back, he was dead, which is always a disappointing ending to an ice cream story. And Kevin says, okay, I get that, but maybe you shouldn't put me through the same thing. So she finally hands him over and they dash inside. And for some reason, they leave Jenny on the balcony with Rita.
Well,
she grabs Rita in her arms and threatens to jump off with Rita.
No.
She's threatening to jump. The police arrive. Sophie's inside going, oh, why didn't she jump?
Sophie wound me up when she's saying, oh, she should just jump there.
She's
yet again, you know what we're going to say.
You know what I don't like? I don't mind the fact that she is a terrible Christian. What really annoys me about this is that she seems completely unaware of that fact. If she kind of said, you know, like, it would kind of be a funny, interesting part of her character if she was like, oh, maybe she should just jump. Oh, sorry, Jesus. Or something like that. Like, to acknowledge that that is really an inappropriate thing for somebody who's a practicing Christian to say.
At least it shows the difference between her and Alia, doesn't it? Because as soon as Alia did it on Friday,
she cried, that was the
cliffhanger on yesterday's episode, wasn't it? Yeah.
But Sophie's
just like, whatever. Yeah, exactly. I don't care. So she's out there with Rita. Kevin goes back out again saying, I don't want you to jump. And I was kind of thinking that, okay, maybe he is kind of sympathising with her.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing if I had gone through what you went through. Mm. I don't remember you standing on top of any balconies when your kid died, Kevin.
He didn't even remember his own kid died, does he?
That's my point.
When, because I was at the time, I was thinking, oh, is Jenny going to come back after this, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, oh, this looks like maybe Kevin will forgive her. I mean, it's pretty unforgivable what she's done, but he kind of says later, doesn't he? He was only kind of saying that to appease her.
Yeah. Well, you don't, no matter what someone's done to you, you really don't want them to jump off a balcony because it's gross.
Oh, no, exactly. And you'd kind of blame yourself anyway,
also,
wouldn't you?
Where's the car parked? Is it near the balcony? Because that's something to think about. So anyway, the police come in and they just go, Are you Danny Bradley? And she goes, I don't know who I am anymore.
There's somebody.
Really professionally handled this. It just came in and went, right, come on. And she just went with them.
Yeah, well, we saw them drag her off, didn't she? There was somebody on Twitter I saw the other day who had recorded themselves saying, I don't know who I am anymore, in the style of Jenny. And it's a very good impression of her. Her hair kind of all screwed up in her face. Cool. That's a crying aftershave. That was cool. Yeah, so Jenny gets led into a police car. She's begging Kevin to forgive her. And he's saying, no, not forgiving you.
I would have said anything to get Jack back.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone at the Rovers is hearing about this courtesy of Sally, aren't they?
Norris is very relieved.
Yeah, he's very relieved that Rita's okay. It's nice to see that side of him sometimes, isn't it?
Yes.
That he does care about Rita. Yeah.
And Maria's going, oh, I knew she was wrong and all along. She slapped me in the face. And everyone's like, shut up, Maria. Stop trying to make everything about you, Maria. Still in Hull. Kevin apologised to Sophie for not listening to him before, and she's like, oh, it's okay, people do crazy things for the people they like. And he says, you're turning into a sensible young woman. I will never let anything bad happen to your Jack again.
Mm. So this is the beginning of the coming of age storyline for Sophie, isn't it? Dead girlfriend, sensible in this situation. So maybe we'll see the beginning of a new side to her.
Well, she's wearing strange clothing, so maybe she's graduated being
her. And then the episode kind of ends with Jenny being, you see her point of view in the back of the police car, don't we? And she's just there having this breakdown in the back of the car.
Yep.
And that is the last
to
see of Jenny.
And then the last we hear of her is on Wednesday when we find out that she's been sectioned.
Oh.
And Kevin says he will never trust another woman again. And that's the end of that.
It's really sad that that's happened to her. But we'll talk about it later because we've got some people in the feedback section talking about whether we think we'll see Jenny again. But I really hope we get to see her back again. The fact that she's been sectioned means she's not dead or anything. She's going to get help. So there is the possibility that we can see her back.
Hope or think that maybe she might come back sooner than we think, and it will be Rita that lets her back in her life, and Kevin and Sophie will be really opposed to it, and it will put Kevin and Rita pop them against each other.
Yeah, well, that's the same as some people have said when they've done the feedback to us. We'll talk more about that later.
I didn't steal the idea. I didn't see that.
Your own original thought, wasn't it?
Sorry.
But well done, Sally Ann Matthews. You've done a cracking job. Don't be a stranger now.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Right, let's move on to...
Oh, and if you want to do an interview with us for a podcast over Skype, just let us know.
Just find our number. Right. Rebel Alia. Why is it called that?
Oh, I tried to do something that sounded like Rebel Alliance. Mm. That Star Wars thing, isn't it? If her name was Alia and not Alia, it'd sound better.
I know. Why don't they change the character's name for our
Rebel Alia.
No, that sounds terrible.
Oh, what about Ramadan Rebel?
No. On Monday, Beth gets everybody, Alia, Eileen, Mary, Gary and Carla, to see the mural for Maddie, but she doesn't mention the fact that it was Craig that did it. And Carla looks very sad, and Alia's like, oh, it's crocodile tears. She's not too upset to rake the cash in. I'm never going to let her forget what she's done, Gary.
I'm kind of disappointed with the end of that graffiti storyline, because it hasn't been mentioned. And Sophie hasn't seen it, has she?
No, she hasn't.
And she must have seen it off screen by now, because a whole week's passed and somebody would have showed it to her. It's a shame we didn't get to see that moment, because I thought that would have been quite a good bit of acting from Brooke we could have had there.
Yeah, so Carla tells Alia she has to go to a meeting for a client and says, and Carla's like, oh, I haven't prepared. And Carla... And also, Carla's wallowing, and I'm doing all the work here. And Sally, she's moaning about this to Sally. And as we know, Sally thinks Ali's a bit jumped up anyway.
Mm.
So she kind of makes this weird face, like, shut up. So she goes to the meeting, and the client seems quite fine. He's like a normal person. He just says, right, all of this stuff is a bit outdated. I'm not really interested. So she says, oh, you might be interested about this story point that I keep going on about, this...
Maybe
bespoke masks that I've made.
I thought we said at the time, didn't we, that we thought that she would try and undermine the meeting
and make her own. She didn't even think of this.
No, she's just.
She just
like
said.
She's forgotten about that
saying,
evil plot already.
Oh, these are brilliant, and
then he starts being
making
a bit of a perv.
It doesn't really make. As a woman in an industry that is mostly blokes, there is always stupid comments and like. Things they joke about, which obviously they do when you're not there. Mm. They're just treating you exactly the same as they would do if you were a bloke.
You would have thought that being in the knicker industry as well, you might kind of be expecting that.
Well, Tyler tells her later on that you got to expect this kind of thing. But she's like, no, don't talk to me like that. How dare you? And he gets annoyed and says, you're unprofessional. And she leaves. Jason's there and he kind of makes sure that he goes. And they have a drink together. And he's very sympathetic. How nice Jason is. Isn't he lovely?
Motive.
No ulterior motive. On Wednesday, Sharif is sick. Wonder what could be wrong with him. He looks so ill. He looks like he might have asthma. Because that's what happens.
That was something over nothing, wasn't it, with Sharif? It's like, if you're going to have somebody being rushed to hospital, make something out of it. But he's just like, yeah, he collapses a bit, didn't he? Because he hasn't got into an argument with somebody.
He gets into an argument and he gets very over agitated and he sort of has a little fainting fit in the gym. Alia, Zidane and Gary are there and they help him get into Halo. And Alia clearly thinks he's going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, meanwhile, Alia has already said to Carla, I screwed up the meeting. And Carla's like, oh, it happens. So Alia, he goes to the hospital and then Alia later on is on the phone and talking to him and it turns out he's okay, but he's got to stay in overnight. And Carla's like, oh, you should take some time off. And Alia's like, I don't want to. And Gary says, well, you should do.
And then, Carla doesn't really give her a choice at the end of the day, does she?
And then Alia tells Gary that she couldn't cope if he died and she can't take much more of this.
Yeah.
So on Friday, Sharif comes home. And Izzy and Sally are commenting something.
They're just saying that she doesn't think that they look like Alia's on the edge. They don't think that she can take anymore. She's gonna crack or something soon.
But how is she gonna snap? In what way will she snap? I don't know.
Snap her knickers off.
Yeah. Wow. Yasmin is fussing over Sharif and telling Alia that she's invited some family over for iftar.
I guess the spelling of that, but that's what it sounded like for me. So is that the meal that they have at the end of the day at Ramadan when the sun goes down?
We all think of Ramadan as people who are not practicing Muslims as this kind of like ordeal and like sort of this kind of very Spartan kind of experience. Yeah. Where you're
waiting for the end of the day, like I'm starving, but they seem to be.
But actually, they do have the iftar is kind of it's like a celebration, I guess. Everyone gets together and eats.
Yeah, they have some cousins over, don't they?
And they have some tradition. Different countries have traditional food that they eat, so it's kind of like a nice bonding thing that. We don't have,
now,
which should be cool.
Yasmin and Alia get into a bit of an act off, don't they? When this jacket of Cal's turns up, because Yasmin's saying, oh, we should take it and give it to Emily for the charity shop. And Alia's like, no, I can't get rid of it. And Yasmin's, no, you should let the past go. And yeah, they're all kind of like, they're not brilliant acting there, but all getting a bit over emotional about the whole thing. So Alia grabs it away and goes off to the Rovers and orders a large white wine.
Well, now, Alia, if you're going to order wine, if you're going to order alcohol,
if you've never drunk before,
don't pick wine straight off the bat.
I don't drink, like, but wine. I know that wine is horrible.
Wine is really nasty.
We're so uncultured, aren't we?
I'm very uncultured. You should have a Malibu and pineapple.
Well, she should have ordered just some kind of nice cocktail.
Yeah.
Gone to the bistro and ordered a nice cocktail.
Tequila sunrise or something. How about that? But she doesn't know, bless her, because she's not had any before.
Well, she doesn't get to drink this one, does she? Because Gary comes and drags her off and takes her home and gives her a very good talking to. It doesn't work. It just makes her horny.
Wow.
She throws a salve at him.
And he says, no, I don't want to do this because I know it's not you. And she dumps him.
Yeah.
Well, harsh. Sharif and Yasmin.
Yeah, they get a visit from Leanne and she's back from France. So we couldn't remember who she went to see the other week, did we? We thought it was going to be Stella or Gloria, but we've got Eva that's away in France.
Why is Eva in France? I thought she went to New York.
No, we thought she was going to go to New York, but she went to France. And I think maybe she did go to France to see Gloria. So maybe she saw both of them. Whatever, she's met somebody and got engaged, which I think is a bit of a stretch to believe that.
I can believe that.
How long has she been there? 2-3 months?
She's a good-looking woman, Michael. Jason's gutted about this news, so he goes to the Rovers and gets drunk. So Gary's moping around at home, tells Anna what happened, and Anna says, oh, she'll come around, I'm just happy to be in a scene. Leanne finds Alia on the bench, and she's sulking and being miserable, and Leanne's like, hello, I'm your family member. Everyone loves me now. And she goes, get lost. You've got nothing to do with my family anymore.
Which is about time she was told that.
It kind of is, isn't it? It's like, Leanne, just get another, just stop adopting people. You can't just go around adopting everybody.
She should be with blimmin' Janice anyway, celebrating her birthday with her.
I know. You think Janice would have had a bloody great big party, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for a 50th.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Alia then spots Jason going down the street. He's left the Rovers. He's going down back home with a bottle or candle in his hands.
Yeah.
And so she launches himself at him. He's like, hello, are you having a party? Can I come inside? And it doesn't take very long at all before she starts to have a rompy time with him.
Yeah.
Well, she goes for a snog first, and then straight away she's like, right up those stairs, my laddo.
Yeah, she said, I've been good all this time and I'm sick of it. So they go upstairs, and then she comes back down after, in the next episode, looking very sad.
Well, it's no surprise at the end of the Friday's episode that Jason was surprised that she'd been a virgin, because she was acting very confident and like she knew what she was doing, wasn't she?
She's probably seen some films. So at the bar, Gary and Lloyd are talking about Alia, and Lloyd says she's probably wondering if there's anyone left in the world who will love her as much as Cal, which is a very sad thing to think about. So Yasmin is there with the family, and they're all getting ready for the feast later on, and she says, oh, we might put Cal's show on the market because it's so stressful. Sharif's asthma's flared back up, and Zina's like, no, I can cope. Then Alia comes in, and they all start talking about how wonderful she is and how she's like Jamila. And so obviously she looks really... she's really guilty about this because she overhears them talking about her.
I wonder whether Zidane will kind of become the golden boy, or think he is, if this ever comes out. Because
no,
I mean, I'm assuming like he doesn't drink. I'm assuming he's also a virgin as well.
I think what's going to happen is he's going to realise that he is not the second child, and it might give him a bit more confidence and maybe pull him out of his shell, because I think he's always been in Alia's shadow. So he might sort of go, no, I've made this, I've put this on myself. I'm the one that's made myself feel inferior. I'm actually quite cool. Why don't I stop being miserable?
That's what Simon's been telling me anyway.
So Zidane then says to Alia, oh, they want to show Cal's show, and they wouldn't do it if you were the one in charge. Gary comes to the door, and Yasmin wants to invite him in to meet the cousins and stay for dinner, but Alia walks off with him because she needs to speak to him.
Yeah, did they know that she dumped him? She hadn't told Yasmin and everyone, had
they? No. So they go off together to see the flats, and she's like, I can't believe that soon it will be back to normal and like it never happened. And Gary says, life goes on, you just have to stay close to the people that love you. And this is when she starts getting this look on her face, like, I've totally ruined everything. How could I have pushed him away?
Mm.
And he says, we've just fallen out, I'll always have your back. And he goes down on one knee and says, will you marry me? And she's like, no, I'm not going to marry you. I dumped you a minute ago. He's like, oh, you didn't mean it.
That's what I would say if you ever tried to divorce me or anything. No, you're only joking at me.
And she says, I can't marry you. It's always going to be no. You've done so much, but you need to move on and find someone who deserves you. And then she runs off.
Even if this hadn't happened before, though, I don't think they've been going out long enough.
They're not suited to each other.
I don't think they're not suited to each other. I don't think we've seen enough of them together to be able to say. I'd kind of forgotten they were going out.
I
thought that they had split up.
But I would have said before, I would say even after today, actually, that Alia needs to be with somebody who is Muslim, because her faith is so important to her.
I think so now, yeah. I really hope they do.
I really wonder whether this storyline is going to head to somebody converting to Islam. Because that would be really controversial.
That's what we've said all along, isn't it?
It could be Gary, it could be Leanne.
Yeah.
And it would get in the papers for sure.
Yeah.
And
I think that'd be really interesting.
Whoever it would be would probably get hate mail for it. I know they would.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Ooh.
I think so. I think a lot of people would get really annoyed.
Yeah, we've seen people convert to Christianity. It's different, isn't it? When Sophie became a Christian, it's like, well, you grew up in a Christian country.
You sing your
hymns at church or at school or whatever. So it's kind of natural progression. But yeah, that would be really interesting if that happened.
So Zidane and Alia go outside and they're talking. And Sally's like, oh, she starts sticking her nose in. And I was like, oh, go away.
What did she say about a conservatory?
Oh, I didn't know you had a conservatory, Sally.
Tell you what, I was thinking today, an excellent storyline for something big and dramatic or whatever would be if they had a big storm or something and Sally's conservatory got smashed.
No, Michael, no.
I would love it if a tree came down on Sally's conservatory.
Don't say that, because The conservatory is my character of the week.
No, it's not. Jenny is our character of the week. Say that already.
Oh, right, okay.
I think if Sally without a conservatory, she'd be like, what would
Correct.
She do? She'd have nothing in her life.
She wouldn't. She'd be an empty shell of a woman, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
So anyway, Zidane's like, what's gone into you? And she's like, oh, I forgot. St. Alia isn't allowed an off day. So meanwhile, Jason and Gary in the pub together. And he starts moaning. Gary starts moaning at Jason. Jason gets panicky because he thinks he's having a go at him for shagging his bird. But it turns out he's just talking about the fact that he proposed and got rejected. So Jason says, well, Eva's marrying someone else. Let's have a drink. Jason says, look, Gary, you and Alia are made for each other. But he says maybe it was just a phase that she was going through. So guilty Jason goes off to see Alia, but Zidane answers the door. And Alia gets rid of him, goes outside and says, right, I want to know what you said. Don't tell anybody. You can't tell anybody. And she starts completely freaking out about this. And Jason says, look, forget about it. Don't worry about it. Gary's the top bloke. I want you guys to be together. I'm not going to ruin this for you. But Alia's not really thinking about that. She's thinking about her spiritual life. And she says, Ramadan is supposed to be a time of purification for body and soul. And I basically drank alcohol during the day and had sex. And I was a virgin before now. I've ruined everything in one stupid night. And if Cal was here, if my dad could see
this,
he would, you know, this would be the worst thing. And this is a really interesting
It is. I'm really glad that they've gone down the spiritual route of
it.
Alia really did impress me this week. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of her, but it's really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. And I think, that little breakdown at the end as well was a little bit of Sally Ann Matthews inspired.
She definitely looks like she's been taking acting lessons at Sally's knee.
So that was really interesting, and I didn't think I'd say that about an earlier story.
This is, to me, it's so much more interesting than it could have been if it had just been like, I'm going to scupper Carla's business and I'm going to have meetings and she's going to go bankrupt.
It didn't seem to me like it was a, now we are going to teach you about Muslim culture or about Islam, is it, which it sometimes has in the past, like when they had Ramadan last year, the not even water thing. It was a bit like, we are hammering you over the head to this is what Ramadan is, but here it was like, here's a natural storyline that comes out of Ramadan.
I know, but we kind of get stuck between the two, don't we, sometimes, where it's like, oh yeah, we're having iftar later, and so we're like, oh, Wikipedia, what is iftar? You can kind of get it from the context, but they don't spell it out.
Yeah, well, I think that's how it should be, because I think most people probably would have been able to work out for themselves or guess what iftar was, and it was nice that it wasn't. We didn't have the scene where they said, "So Gary, iftar is blah blah blah."
So Gary, would you like to join us for iftar? It's a traditional feast. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I feel a bit kind of sad that I probably got taught this at school, but I've forgotten it all.
Well, yeah, you did GCSE and RE, didn't you?
No, actually, like, we did Hinduism and Judaism.
Literally, the only thing that I can remember about Islam from RE is the five pillars of Islam, and I don't even remember.
Actually, I'm really, now I'm 100% certain I never get taught about it.
Well, here we go, Corrie is educating you.
I would have remembered things.
Yeah, you remember
things. Because I actually got the only A star in the whole school for religious studies.
Well done.
Thanks very much.
Right.
That was, literally, this is the first time I've been able to use that to impress anybody.
Good. Right, let's just pause for a second while we let the cat in, because she's meowing at the door, so we're just going to pause, excuse us. Okay, we're done, she's in. Right, moving on, let's do the Platt storyline, which to me seemed to be treading water a little bit this week. It wasn't as interesting as some of the other ones, but you know, you've got to have a little bit of Platt going on every single week, otherwise we won't know what programme we're watching.
Yeah, it could be EastEnders.
So it was basically about Kylie trying to prove to everyone that she was clean now that she's back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we had Monday, Max doesn't want Kylie to pick him up from school because Callum will, and he wants to know when she's going away again, which is a bit sad, considering only a few weeks ago she was like, he was saying, when's she going to come back? And when now she is back and she's being nice to him, well, I don't really think that Max would be acting like that, but whatever. Gail says that Kylie's acting like a Stepford wife. Bethany is being horrible as always, asking Kylie about the drugs, and then Callum's there as well, and he's making fun of the fact that he's like, you've got to better lock up Max's medication, otherwise Kylie's going to steal them. And at least David is kind of supporting her with that, because he's still trying to put on the act, isn't he, that he and Kylie are going out with each other and they're still a couple.
Yeah, Max tells Kylie he can't tell her what to do because she's not a proper mum. And then Callum says, oh, she's crashing down from all the drugs. And Kylie storms off and Callum's like, oh, she's gone to get more drugs.
Yeah, and Bethany and Sarah were saying the same thing as well later. But she wasn't. Yeah. She was under the viaduct. Maria turns up.
Yes, and she says, I feel bad for you. And she tries to put herself in her shoes. And Kylie says, I'm just a lousy mum.
I don't know why it was Maria particularly. It was just like...
Well, she was around that day.
Exactly. You want to be in a scene, Samia?
For yeah, once? Okay.
Yeah, come on, man.
So Kylie goes to the doctor and says, can you please do a drugs test on me to prove to my family that I'm not taking drugs? And she says, well, I could do, but it would only prove that you weren't on drugs when you took the test, which is so negative. So why don't you try...
Pamphlets.
Yeah, why don't you try looking at these pamphlets? So Kylie comes back and says, look, I'm really clean. I'm really serious about being clean, but I can't do it by myself. I need your help. And then she says, I'm going to read you a bedtime story, Max. And Max says, no.
Yeah.
I hate you.
But she is determined to win a round, isn't
she? Yeah, she's determined to win everybody round and prove that she is a good mum and off drugs.
And her other motive, of course, is she wants David to actually properly accept her as being
his wife
again. But David said on Wednesday that he's only planning to do this for a few weeks anyway until he can get things sorted with Max. Yeah, he says that to Gail.
In the salon, Steph's having her hair done by Audrey, and then she makes a face when David says that he's back with Kylie. Kylie comes in, and David's like, oh, guess what Steph just said? I don't know why he did that. And she says, look, I've overcome addiction, and I'm to look after my kids, so you should shut up. And then, I think that's what David says. Overcome her addiction, so
I was,
you should
I
shut
was
up.
Really
and then Kylie says,
so I don't remember much.
And then Kylie says, thank you for standing up for me. Because she thinks David's proud of her, but actually he's like, no, you shouldn't believe everything I say in public.
Just an act. Yeah, because they're talking about, when they're saying that in the salon still, aren't they? And they think they're the only ones there, but they hear the door goes. They're like, oh, we've been rumbled. Who has overheard us? Oh, don't worry, it's only Bethany. That is our nice family member who wouldn't possibly rat us out. No, they didn't realise who it was. No, we see her there looking very kind of evil about it. So she goes over and tells Callum and Sarah at the pub, doesn't she?
Yeah,
it doesn't take long for her to open up and spill the beans about it.
In the Rovers, Mary makes a comment about Kylie, and David takes it the wrong way and starts having a go, and then gives her a big snog. Not Mary, Kylie. Callum comes out of the loo and he's like, oh, what a great performance.
Yeah,
I know.
Slow clap, doesn't he?
I know that it's all a lie, it's just a plot. David's like, I didn't know what you're talking about. And Cam's like, Bethany told me, why'd she make it up? And David says, well, you're just going to have to make it stand up in court if you think that's true. And they walk off smugly, because how would he ever prove that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd be so annoyed if I was David in this situation. I mean, Bethany's just a bit...
Bethany and
Sarah.
Sarah Louise are just snakes in the grass, aren't they?
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
We're so looking forward to Sarah Louise coming back.
They're
which has been
horrible.
Such a disappointment. Because, I mean... Callum already had Macca and Jenna as cronies, and now he's managed to convert Sarah Louise. And we don't really ever see, we still haven't seen much of Sarah Louise explaining to anybody why she's actually acting like this.
Callum is.
Well, no, she's just like there as his gangster's mole, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is. So David and Kylie agree to each other that they can't let Bethany realise what she's done, because it will blow their cover. So they're nice to her. And then Kylie also tells David, look, I don't know if I can cope with you being one way to me in front of everybody else and then horrible to me when we're just by ourselves. Please can we get back together? And I want it to be like it was before. And he says, no, I can't risk it.
Yeah, but it looked like things were on the up a bit on Friday, weren't they? They're kind of united in support of Michael, because it was operation today. Was he getting a pacemaker or something? I can't remember what he was getting.
No, it was something plus something... inserted in his heart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a plastic
something
thing.
Anyway. So David has to take him to the hospital. Kylie's there visiting him. And is this the first time that she's seen him since...
I think so.
Since she's been back, maybe.
Yeah, well, he's happy to see her because he hasn't done anything wrong. And she tells him about what the agreement is with David. And then, here's David with Gail's card. And it looks like he might be softening towards Gail a little bit.
Yeah.
Then he gets wheeled off and he says, I hope you'll be there when I get out, David and Kylie.
Mm.
I don't think they are. But he wakes up and everything was fine. Kylie, David and Eileen are all there. He says he feels tender and nervous, like a virgin on a wedding night.
Just like Eileen was doing.
Yeah. And Eileen says, it's the first day of the rest of your life. And then in the hospital corridor, Carly says to David, please don't push me away. Come to counselling. Help me stay clean. And if you're not doing it for me, do it for the kids.
It did look like he was being won round, because I just loved the little moment where he was doing his Freddie Mercury impression with the
foam
on his lip and everything. And just that, the way that they were looking at each other and interacting
they
with
really
each other, just
are
that brief moment.
Other,
they were so good with each other. So I hope we see more of it. Do you think that Michael's going to be won round to Gail pretty quickly once he gets out as well?
I don't know. Well, the way he was saying, I feel nervous, like, and Eileen said it's the first day of the rest of your life or something. Maybe he'll decide to go somewhere else.
Well, there's still unfinished business with Eileen, isn't there? And surely at some point, Gail is going to find out about what happened between Eileen and Michael.
Well,
so Gail, I suppose.
I mean, Eileen can't just be there because she wants to support Michael and no one else is around. She must be there because she wants to be. She has feelings for him.
No, I think she's just been a good friend and colleague. I think that Michael's probably going to come out of all this, realise that he was better off with Gail. He's going to go back to her. They're going to be back as a couple again. And then either he's going to let slip, or he's going to say, look, Gail, I've got a confession or something. Or Eileen's going to drop them in it or something. And then it's going to be blown
she's
up again.
She's going to find out again somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. To Lisa, Dev Stevers.
She arrived on Friday, that was just the end of the episode, wasn't it, when she arrived? So we'd have the scene where she was like being welcomed in, but no. By Monday, she's already invited herself to stay there.
She's doing yoga, making smoothies. What a strange creature this woman is.
Well, you said that she was very hippie-ish, didn't you, from what we saw the other week, and she definitely is.
And just a disclaimer for anyone who thinks I'm insulting to Lisa, I also do yoga
once a
and
week.
Make smoothies.
Yes, you're just you're my Lisa.
It's not like... I'm being horrible when I'm calling her a dirty hippie.
Well, Julie's getting very insecure about it, isn't she? Because she realises that Dev's kind of...
Well, she thinks Talisa's going to snatch him away, and she calls him... Who is it? No, Mary. Mary says, look, it's only a matter of time before Julie realises that you fancy Talisa, and she's a vegetable bothering double-jointed interloper.
I love that line. That's great.
Write that down.
Classic Mary there.
Julie's worried about what's going to happen if Dev finds out that Brian's around, because she thinks the relationship's rocky enough as it is without this being chucked in. And then Julie she's in the cafe, isn't she, and she tells Beth about how amazing Talisa is, and Beth's like, no way, she must have a dark secret or something. And then in comes Talisa, and straight away she butters Beth up and says, oh, your hair's amazing, you look like Sonia. And Beth says, Beth tells Julie that Dev is making gooey eyes at her.
I liked that Sonia reference, because that's one of the few 80s pop stars that I actually know who they are. I can't remember any songs that she did, but I do remember her.
Julie goes back to the house, and Talisa's there drinking a smoothie and wearing her dressing gown. And
I hate it when they do that in soaps, and it's really, really common, isn't it?
I would no more wear someone's dressing gown than I would their pants.
I know, because it's...
And if
you don't often wear things underneath your dressing gown.
I would find it incredibly cringy, and I don't think I could even wear it.
That's been up against your bits. But yeah, it's really, really common for somebody to steal somebody else's dressing gown in soaps.
Maybe we're the weird ones.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Dressing gown swapping is...
Well, we've got towel-y dressing gowns, which you're supposed to wear.
Yeah.
It's like a towel that you wear. Anyway, it's getting a bit too personal. So Talisa says to Julie, oh, I don't have anything. I gave all my stuff away before I moved to India.
That's so perfect.
Is it a problem me staying? And Julie's like, no.
We had a bit more Brian after the break then, didn't we? He's with Ken and saying, I've come to build bridges with Julie.
Good luck with that. Julie, meanwhile, is trying to coax Talisa into saying when she's leaving. She's like, I don't know. Dev helped me get over a bad relationship in India.
Sensitive. No, what's that? She's in a bad situation, and Dev's kind of taking advantage or the shoulder to cry on.
Dev comes in, and Julie's like, oh, should we go for a drink at the Rovers? And Talisa's like, yeah, let's go to the Rovers.
She is quite nice, really, to Lisa.
There's nothing wrong with her, is there?
No, I don't dislike her.
I have to go get a parcel from the sorting office, and dashes off and sees Brian in the street, who says, You know that limerick competition? Do you remember how every so often in Coronation Street characters will win extravagant prizes in competitions they forgot they entered? Well, we've won!
I know they all have their tragedy and deaths and crashes and everything, but they do win competitions more than the average street, I would say.
Not just any competition. They won a limerick competition, the prize of which was a round-the-world trip, a luxury round-the-world trip. I'd be like, bye, Dev.
I know.
Sorry.
I was a bit disappointed that we didn't get to hear the whole limerick. They only, like, Brian said the first three lines of it or something. No. Like the scriptwriters couldn't commit to a whole limerick. But why are they only being told now? Because Brian's been away for like a year and a half. What competition was this? Very slow
prize department.
I like the idea of, because I'm assuming Julie's going to jet off with him and go around the world with him. I like the idea that she has like a nice kind of happy holiday with him and everything. But yeah, I thought it was, they could should have come up with something better than we entered a competition a year and a half ago.
All right, well, they did, so just deal with
Unbelievable.
It. And Brian is playing chess with Ken later and hearing about Deirdre is fine. And she's
Deirdre's
coming,
just fine. She's coming back soon.
She's going to have her 60th birthday in a few weeks.
Nothing could go wrong there.
Mm. And Brian tells him he's sold his place in Wales and he's staying in a Naff Vegas hotel in town. So Ken goes, well, stay in Amy's room. She's living at the Rovers for some reason.
With Tracy? No, with Liz or something. I don't know.
No, it doesn't really make sense.
I don't care.
On Wednesday, Talisa tells them more about her horrible boyfriend, and he was so horrible that he made her do yoga to get over the stress, which I sympathise with. Mary says, do you know what? Instead of doing yoga, you should get a job. And Julie comes in and says, oh, you could get a job as a trainee machinist in Macclesfield. And Talisa is one of the few women who's ready to admit, I can't work
I know, that's like the shame
in an industrial situation.
She should have been chucked out just for admitting she can't use a machine.
That's like saying a man who can't put up shelves.
A man who doesn't drink beer at the Rovers.
Yeah. Talisa says, yeah, I can't do that. And Julie says, oh, you can't just sit around here. She's like, oh, I can only do yoga. And Julie says, why don't you do classes at the community centre? And Dev says, yes, do it at the gym as well. Which, really?
Why does...
Just because you can do yoga doesn't mean you can teach yoga.
Well, she seems like she's pretty into it.
So far, I've only seen her sitting down and breathing.
I haven't seen her doing any hard moves.
I haven't seen her doing any, you know, like lotus thing. Or no, I don't know what they're called.
I don't know. That's
very difficult. Bird of Paradise. Let's see her do one of them.
Anyway, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Brian comes along towards the end. He wants to sweep Julie away and she's not going with him. And she just tells Dev that he's so lovely and Brian needs to leave because he's not winning her back. But we'll just see, won't we?
Yeah, who knows?
We will see. I'm kind of, this storyline's like just about keeping my interest. I do quite like Talisa. I'm very happy that Brian's back, but
I think we all know where this is heading.
I think we do.
Okay, so we've got the final storyline, which is a stupid one, which was Rip Off Britain. Go on, explain it then.
Rip Off Britain, that's the thing, isn't it?
Why did you bring it up?
I'm just saying, I'm just introducing the title of it.
Yeah, exactly, I wouldn't have remembered that.
That's why it's Rip Off Britain, because yeah, Britain was ripped off.
You can't, it's a pun that's like a written pun.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so.
Was this just an excuse for something for Fizz to come and moan about when she came back, I wonder?
No, I thought this was to launch the amazing new clothing line, Mule Face. Where can I get a Mule Face t-shirt? Because apparently they're really expensive. Now, I remember going to Harvey Nichols and I didn't see them, but apparently they retail there for £100 each.
I was just confused by this.
You couldn't believe, could you? You could not believe, bless your heart.
Gemma had to show me that t-shirts can cost £100. What did you show me?
I showed you a Valentino one, which was like £5,000.
Who's that skull man? Alexander McQueen. Yeah, you showed me some.
Skull man.
I was like, really? £100 for a t-shirt?
£160 those are, and I would quite like one. Our anniversary is coming up if you want to buy me a nice skull t-shirt.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
But yeah, it was an ugly t-shirt anyway, wasn't it? It didn't look designer, but who was it?
Complete lack of design skills was tasked.
It was just a t-shirt with a logo on the front, wasn't it? At least those ones that we saw on the internet had like little studs and everything on them.
So Luke has this amazing Mule Face t-shirt and Talisa compliments him, which causes all the men of Weatherfield to desperately desire one for themselves. Luckily, Luke knows where they can get them for £25, which is a great reduction, but is it 70% or is it 75%? Because as we know in the script, they mentioned it was both.
Did they?
And it very annoyed me because there is a difference.
And you can't even do maths, even you spotted that.
I knew there's a difference between those two. And
he
Gary,
just spends
and
the
then,
episode
yeah.
getting money off of everyone, basically.
He gets money off
of
everybody, and then it turns out that these are fake. Steph says they're fake. And he tries to get back in touch with this guy that sold it to him, and she's like, you've basically been had, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tyrone,
what's he going to do?
Tyrone confirms to Chesney that Fizz is going to come back tomorrow.
This is Friday now,
Friday,
isn't it?
And then they hear Luke on the phone to his friend getting mad. And back at Tyrone's house, Luke is saying, oh, there's nothing I can do. I'm skint. I can't give you your money back. Sorry that these things are counterfeit. Because they don't want them anymore now. They know this. Mm. But he's got an idea. So, tell the idea.
Right, they're going to go to a pub in a van. And then Chesney's going to pretend that he wants to buy some T-shirts from this dodgy bloke and say, I'll meet you at your lockup later. And then when they're there, they're going to steal all the T-shirts. What could go wrong? Well,
what a great plan.
It is the most useless bunch of bumbling buffoons of Coronation Street. They were there. Who was it? It was Chesney, Tyrone, Kirk and Luke. And Kirk ends up topless for some reason halfway through the episode, doesn't he?
Well, with a physique like that, Michael, why would you wear clothes?
So they get in there. He breaks the chain to get in. But, oh no, there's a car that's come.
This was very much like the Famous Five, Adventures of the Famous Five, if the Famous Five were like, had kleptomania.
It was just like it was like, oh no, here come the
men. Or like a cross between
that smugglers.
And Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So they get back up in their mystery machine to drive off.
Chesney can't get in time. He's basically like...
He drops his wallet or something outside,
Timmy,
doesn't he?
The dog, isn't he?
And and then they drive off with the van doors open and all this stash of T-shirts dropping out, leaving a trail behind them.
Chesney's running around in the
lockup area, the warehouse, yeah.
And he pulls a very clever trick by distracting the men with a beer bottle while he runs off.
It does work. They were pretty thick, weren't they?
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're kind of like characters in a computer game, weren't they? Meanwhile, Luke tries to get hold of Chesney and he won't pick up because he left his phone in his car. And Tyrone's like blaming him for taking the money. Kirk's there going, oh, what's going to happen? Luke says, don't worry about it. We'll go back mob-handed and get him back. But first of all, we have to tidy up Tyrone's house because it's a total state and Fizz is coming back tomorrow. Puts the wash on, starts folding things. But then the door goes and it's the two dodgy geezers. And they come in and everyone's like, oh no, they're going to tell us off. But no, they say, oh, someone's been to our lockup and stole the T-shirts.
Because they don't actually realise it's them, do they?
No, they don't.
All they've seen is Chesney because they've been chasing after Ches.
And they bring the T-shirts and hand them out and say, look, these are real.
Really, really real.
And they go to leave and Chesney suddenly is in the street. He's managed to get himself back. Sees them and starts shouting at them. They see him, recognise him as the guy from the lockup, and start trying to manhandle him into Tyrone's house.
I would have loved it if at the end of the day the T-shirts were actually genuine.
I know. The thing is, though, all of this. You can get things like where the vendors made him, or the manufacturers made a mistake and like done like factory seconds, you know, like the label, Cessa's label was around the wrong way.
Mm.
It could be that somebody just made a mistake.
You could probably like sell it for double the money on eBay, couldn't you? If you're saying here's a unique, one of a kind, upside down label, mule face T-shirt.
Oh, have you got one?
No.
Oh.
Probably not.
So they start trying to steal the television as compensation for the fact that these guys have stolen all their T-shirts. Because I think Kirk is wearing one, isn't he?
Kirk was wearing one of Fizz's tops, wasn't he? Because
that was
the only thing that was there.
I thought that was an unusual mule face design.
The thing that Kirk was wearing earlier on in the episode, though, that he left at the warehouse, that was blooming awful, wasn't it?
Looks like
its sleeves look like our curtains. I mean, you've got horrible curtains.
They're not horrible. They're just not
floral
taste.
It was awful. Anyway, then Fizz comes back. Hooray. Jenny McAlpine is back off maternity leave. Is she going to be nice... Lovely Fizz, or is she going to be mingy Fizz? Oh, she is mingy Fizz.
She's minging on. She comes in, she goes, well, that's my telly. She does manage to sort everything out pretty quickly.
She sends off with a flare in her ear, doesn't she?
She says, what's your problem? They say, oh, they broke our padlock. So Luke gives them the money and she kicks them out. And then she's like, oh, this is a great welcome home, isn't it? Oh, I wish I was still at my mum's. Right, Luke, why are you living here? Get out.
Why has she come back from Scylla's? Has she been cured of her osteoporosis?
Yeah, she's like, now she's like Wolverine and all of her bones are adamantium.
She has been filled with polycilla.
Yes. Now Tyrone's like, oh, why does he have to go? Luke was really nice to me when you weren't here. Fizz, just feel guilty about that for a minute. Left me with his children and everything. And a business to run, need I add. And she says, oh, why does he want to live with us anyway? Nobody knows the answer to that. Luke comes down with his bag packed and Fizz says, oh, why don't you put your stuff back? I'll let you stay. So thank you for looking after Tyrone.
Right.
What a stupid story.
So she's back for good. Was Hope and Ruby weren't there, were they? I don't remember seeing
well,
them.
Well, no, they weren't in the scene, but...
She just left them out in the hall, maybe, when all this was going on. I don't know.
Who was looking after the kids? I thought Tyrone was.
Was he? I can't remember whether Fizz or Tyrone. I thought Fizz was looking after them.
Actually, now I think about it. But so...
So that's that, and I assume we're going to get some kind of story with them. I mean, still nothing's happened with Roy and Kathy particularly, has there? So I'm assuming that Fizz is going to go and stick her oar in there and disapprove of his choice of friend or something. But I really, really want this to be a chance for Fizz to reverse back and go back to how she used to be, really nice.
I think Fizz is going to tease out of this woman what her deal is.
What's your secret, Kathy?
I know it's pretty obvious. It's fairly obvious. I think you think it needs to be explained, but I think Coronation Street will still use her to sort of get Kathy to.
Which open has her Kathy heart. Got a secret anymore?
Well, not
she's
really.
She still does act a bit mysterious sometimes, doesn't she?
Right. So that's the end of Street Talk.
Yeah,
Miley's having her christening next week.
Rosie's split up with her boyfriend.
No one cares.
Tragic.
Right, and our character of the week was Jenny.
Yeah, no explanation needed.
Let's move on.
Right, so let's get started with our character profile for the week then. As we promised last week, this week we are having a look back over the tragically cut short life of Maddie Heath, who was buried last week and barely even mentioned this week. But
Everyone's,
she's got her little mural, hasn't she? I wonder whether they're actually going to keep that mural and like they'll show it every now and again. Like Maxine's got her bench, hasn't she? And we know it's Maxine's bench, but it's never referred to as being it. But I mean,
referred to, does it?
No, but I suppose there's no getting away that this mural is actually for Maddie. I keep saying Muriel, it's the Hilda in me. Muriel.
I wrote Muriel.
Did you? Brilliant. Yeah. So, Maddie Heath, born on the 3rd of February 1997, and she died on the 1st of June 2015. Her mother was Fran, her brother was Ben, and she first appeared on the 25th of December 2013, before making her last appearance the other week on the 1st of June 2015. In that short time, she was in 128 episodes, and she was played by Amy James Kelly. But it was just sometimes called just Amy Kelly. I don't really understand. So yeah, she started filming in the second half of 2013. She was even doing her A levels at the time when she started filming as Maddie. So good for her. Art, photography, and theatre studies, if anyone's interested. And I couldn't find like a introduction interview or anything from Amy, but Brooke at the time said, Maddie shakes things up. She's very much a Kylie Platt or Becky McDonald character, but a lot worse. She's very demanding and hard to read. You're intrigued by her. I think she's a good match for Sophie, who stands her ground with her. They're both feisty and want to get one over on each other. Sophie likes her because she's naughty. I think that describes Maddie quite well.
She is feisty, naughty,
and a Kylie Platt, Becky McDonald type character, but because she's got a sensitive side, doesn't she?
I think she's worse. I think Kylie and Becky had very vindictive streaks, and I wouldn't say Maddie had that.
No, at least not. At the very beginning, maybe she did, when she'd nicked Sally's bag.
It was just a front.
But as soon as she was sort of girlfriends with Sophie, she's just been pretty lovely, hasn't she?
I know, there's so many characters who came in this big sort of blaze of, like, scandal, and then just
turned out to be nice.
Just nice.
So she was born in 1997, like we just said. Fran, her mum, had had mental health issues, and at some point, Maddie and her younger brother Ben were put into foster care. But by 2013, Maddie had been living on the streets for a few years and visiting the local soup kitchen.
Do you know what soup kitchens? I know that. I always want to go there because they sound delicious.
You do like soup, don't you?
I love soup so much.
We're going through a gazpacho phase at the moment, aren't we?
I bet they don't serve gazpacho soup.
Bet Sally would if she was working there properly.
I know in real life it's probably just like all the cans of soup dumped into a massive vat and just stirred up and really not really that great. But just the idea, just the word soup kitchen makes me go...
You could start up a high-class soup kitchen.
I'm sure there already is one.
So we first see Maddie there on Christmas Day because Sophie is working out. She's being all Christianly and helping out on Christmas Day. And she drags Sally in to volunteer as well, hasn't she? So Maddie dislikes Sally straight away for being incredibly snooty about it. And Sally gets her face pushed into some trifle by Maddie.
Because it's funny.
Because it was funny on Christmas Day, and Maddie steals her handbag. So we didn't see very much more of her in 2013. But it's 2014, Sophie is on the case. She goes back to the kitchen to confront Maddie about her stolen bag, which also contains a special watch of Sally, so she wants to get that back, really. It's really clear that Maddie has actually got this watch, and the bag and everything, and Sophie promises to give Maddie £50 to get it back. So Maddie's like, okay, hands over the bag, and Sophie doesn't give her the cash because she's just evil.
She's evil. She's horrible.
So Maddie is like, right, I'm not having any of that. I'm going to go back, follow Sophie back, and get my watch back. And then there was a funny scene where she goes to over the road, over the maisonette, where Sally and Tim are living, and she interrupts a snoozing Tim and gives him a nosebleed. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And
it
Tim,
was funny.
That was really funny because Tim was all saying, oh, it was this big
hulking fellow.
Yeah, and Sally was hailing him as the hero of the street for seeing off this horrible. Yeah, and it was actually just Maddie. And then when Maddie's back again, there's a bit of a. Maddie goes and confronts Maddie again, and Sophie confronts Maddie again. There's a bit of a spark between them, and Maddie kisses her. And Sophie also finds out about Maddie's mum and brother. They don't make a big thing ever about the fact whether Maddie's a lesbian or not. I mean, she obviously is going out with Sophie.
She's a bit of a lesbian.
But whereas Sophie's storyline was she was being labelled as I'm a lesbian, or this is my coming out storyline and I like girls and everything, with Maddie it was just like, I like you as a person.
I've always been a lesbian.
Yeah. But it's just not a big deal made out of it, is it? It's kind of, I suppose, like, sure.
I think that's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just, like, kind of natural. They didn't have to make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, that's good, I think.
Sophie also finds out about Maddie's mum and brother and stuff around this time. Now, the next little storyline last year was Ben ran away from his foster home and Maddie and Sophie had to go and get him back. And I was kind of wondering at the time whether Ben would turn out to be like a regular character on the street, because he was actually not a bad little actor and he was quite a cute boy, wasn't he? And he's like, and Maddie, you could see, was very protective of him because he was the kind of boy that needed looking after a little bit. So it was, that was one of the times when we got to see a little bit more of Maddie's kind of softer side and not just this harsh front that she's been putting up until then. So then, Gemma, what happens next?
Where are we?
We are here.
Where?
With Sophie and Maddie's relationship.
Oh, you've made it a different bit. With Sophie and Maddie's relationship in full swing, Sally refuses to accept them as a couple. So they moved to live in a halfway house. Oh, that was terrible.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did they not like that?
No, they lived in this. No, they didn't like it there because everyone was horrible.
Yeah.
It was sort of a slum. And then they had to go and live on the street because it was so terrible and people kept having parties or something. I can't remember. They had arguments with people.
Yeah.
And then they moved into number 13.
Yeah, they lasted about 2 days living on the street, didn't they?
They lasted long enough to have a photo of Maddie and Sophie on the street.
For publicity purposes. Yeah. And didn't they get
a bucket
of water?
A bit like when Prince William slept rough for a night.
Didn't they get a bucket of water chucked over them or something? And Sophie's like, I'm having enough of that. Yeah, Sophie had the amazing idea of sneaking home to go and get a change of clothes or something. And while she's there, I think like, somebody interrupted her or somebody sees her or something. They decide that they are not cut out for living on the street anymore, or at least Sophie is, and so they move into number 13. I think, was that when Kevin was there or wasn't there? I don't even remember at the time, but he lets them live there, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's back and forth to Germany still at that time.
Now, Maddie finds out that Ben is going to be moving to Devon with his foster parents, and she doesn't like it, so she takes him away from his foster home and stows him. He kind of hides in Mary's camper van.
Yeah, well, she kind of overmothers him in a way, doesn't she? And she's like treating him really well and like giving him all these treats. And then she finds that the social services are coming, so she like grabs him away. But it kind of turns out that he doesn't really want to be kidnapped, and he's pretty happy with his foster family and the life in Devon.
Sophie's like, life in Devon. He's gonna have a better life there. So Maddie lets him go. Ben says, I want to go. So really, Maddie's the only one that's got a problem here.
That was really sad. But they did give him an excuse sometimes. They kept going back and forth to Devon over the year, didn't they? They wanted the actors out of it for a little bit.
Later on in the year, Maddie is a bit heroic because Eccles has an accident and has to go to see the vet. So Maddie steals Carla's car. Oh my gosh. And Carla doesn't. Carla's sort of mad about it, but she kind of really likes Maddie's chutzpah.
I like your chutzpah. Yeah.
And so she says, right, you got work for me at the factory.
And she does an awesome job. Her.
As we know, we haven't mentioned this before, but any labour that Maddie turns her hand to, she instantly is the best at it than anyone's
maybe
ever.
Maybe that's why they had to kill her off, because she would like to be slowly taking over the street of it. Yeah, she's like, boy,
why don't you
there?
Let me just take over the cafe? And then when he goes back, it's like the first of a chain of 50 cafes throughout Manchester. She's like, oh yeah, profits are up 5 billion. Is that okay, Roy?
Roy wouldn't like that.
No, I know he wouldn't.
We also haven't said about the fact that from about that point in the year last year, Maddie and Sophie start to hang about with Simon a bit, don't they? And there's a bit of a relationship that builds, particularly between Maddie and Simon. And that doesn't really go anywhere in the end, does it?
Not really.
I don't remember. But
well, she's dead now, so no, it doesn't. She
anymore.
Also, that year, discovers Tim's secret that he can't read.
Yeah. But and she helps him out with it, doesn't she? She like, plays word games and things because she's so nice.
In 2015, as we know, there was the minibus crash earlier in the year, and she escapes relatively unscathed and helps rescue others, and this kind of helps her and Sally sort of like each other a bit more, because Sally obviously had a problem with her the whole time about
stealing
her bag and stuff.
Well, yeah, well, because she was a little street rat, wasn't she, in Sally's eyes. Not
stuff.
Good enough for her, Sophie.
I wouldn't really... I'm not quite sure I'd be that enthusiastic about my daughter.
I know. But, you know, it's just Sally.
I mean, Maddie's
Sally,
a nice person, yeah. So, yeah.
She becomes much more of a nice person. I'm really glad that they did soften her quickly. Sometimes when they soften a character, it seems a bit, like, fake, and it's like they're not true to who they first were when they came in. But I think... because they did it quick enough with Maddie, and she's a really good actress as well. And when we heard about her backstory and everything, it was very believable. And it was nice that there was somebody for Sophie, wasn't there?
Yes.
Because they, much more so than Jenna.
Well, we were wondering if they were going to get married.
Yeah.
But no. As we said, she gets closer to Simon, and she gets annoyed with Norris when he punctures Simon's ball when he kicks it against the cabin. And she tricks him by ordering a bulk supply of Chicken Fancier magazine. That was to do with his phone or some kind of app or like automatic ordering system that she messes around with. And then she steals the newspaper poster from out of the cabin, and Norris begins to think he's going crazy. So she does a bit of gaslighting
there.
And then Maddie gets annoyed with Sophie distrusting Jenny Bradley so much. But then she finds out the truth on the night of the Victoria Court fire and goes to tell her and gets blowed up and dies a few days later.
So sad.
From having all her bits blowed up.
And that was a shock, wasn't it? I think lots of people kind of assumed that Cal would die in the fire, but that little second wind of excitement from Maddie was very
unexpected.
Shocking it was.
They confirmed she was leaving on 9th of February this year, and she said, I made the decision to leave because I'm young and adventurous and I want to gain more experience and explore and improve my craft. Acting is my passion and I'm excited to see where it takes me. I've had the most amazing 18 months and I'll be sad to leave my Corrie family. It's been like a second home, but like all young people, you eventually fly the nest. I can't thank everyone enough who made this not only possible, but fantastic.
I
think she's got so much potential.
I really think that Amy's got a lot of potential, so I don't blame her for going, but it doesn't make me any happier that she has.
I always said that she was one of the most glamorous on the red carpet, and as we know, that is kind of like, outside of Coronation Street, that's where people see a lot of these stars.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see her in other roles.
I can see her going to Hollywood, I can.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be like the street rat kind of role.
If she's good
not
at...
certainly what
she
we
scrubs
cast,
up
it?
Bloody well, that girl does. If she can do an American accent, she's...
I bet she can.
She's away. The next thing she's going to be in is an 8-part ITV series called Jericho, which is set in 1870s Yorkshire, so she doesn't need an accent for that.
I don't know what part she's going to play in that, but I would be
she's
almost
gonna
interested in watching
that. She's
going to
play the lead role of Jericho.
it seems to me from that she's going to be some kind of little rapscallion again, isn't
probably.
She?
But, she needs to get a break away from that, I think. But I think she's so talented and charismatic. I think she could have been in Coronation Street until she called it a day.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was a good move for them to kill her off because she could have gone off around the world, seen an elephant, and then come back if she needed to, because
Well, yeah, but she didn't, did she?
With Cal, fine, but...
Cal, yeah, bye, Cal. You've had your chance. You're rubbish.
Yeah.
You didn't go with the he secretly murdered Jamila plot, which I was hoping for.
I know. But she was really, really good for Sophie, and that, particularly compared to the likes of Jenna. And even Sian, I think. I don't remember much about their relationship, to be honest, but... I think Sophie likes a bit of rough, doesn't she? She does. And I think that they could have really made a go of it. And I'm just not really looking forward to seeing yet another getting a girlfriend storyline for Sophie. How long is it going to be? Maybe next year.
Maybe she'll be a nun.
Maybe, yeah.
She is quite religious. So I don't know if you knew that.
Just in case we'd forgotten about that. Maybe.
Well, that's Maddie, everybody. Tell us your Maddie thoughts and...
A character whose flame was extinguished too soon.
She was a candle in the wind.
Yeah, one of the really good Stuart Blackburn creations, I would say. But oh well.
Oh well, she's dead.
Yeah,
let's
get
on
over
to
it.
The cabin.
Well, we're going to start off our news this week with a another bit of a slow news read, to be honest. But first off, Sally Ann Matthews and Stuart Blackburn are going to be doing a thing in the Edinburgh Film Festival later this year. There's some kind of section called All TV is Soap, and they're going to have people from the world of soap discussing soap operas on stage or whatever. So they're going to be there. So's Darren Little, who you people might remember as being a very famous ex-archivist, but now he works
wrote lots
extenders.
Of books and stuff.
He has written loads of books, but he works at the opposition there.
Yeah, and I've heard a little people rumours saying that they don't like him anymore.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
We won't say who told us that, but
yeah,
we've heard rumours. So,
Friday the 28th of August at 11:15 is when this is happening.
Fly.
But it's a little bit far away from us, sadly, up in Edinburgh. I don't think you can get very much further from where we are. But it might be quite interesting. I'm quite intrigued by the fact that it's Sally Ann Matthews that's doing it, when, like, if she has left Coronation Street, why is she still doing that kind of thing? Or is
now
it,
she's left, she's free.
She's free to do those
to things,
maybe.
Everyone else has got to do jobs, haven't they?
I guess so. But it could be good if anyone's going and would like to tell us about it. It would be interesting.
Let's move on to the next story, which is Sir Ian McKellen got a mounted Corey cobblestone for his birthday when he appeared on This Morning, along with a video greeting by Bill Roach.
Yeah, Sir Ian McKellen, as I'm sure most people remember, came and he was playing Mel Hutchrides. It was about 10 years ago, wasn't it? Because we had him on the Corey
he's
History.
He's a big Corey fan, so he obviously listens to the podcast. Hi, Ian. How you doing? And he said... I know exactly where this will go, alongside my portrait of Violet Carson, who played Ina Sharples. Thank you very much indeed.
That must be quite a nice little present to have, a memento. I don't know why there are still old cobbles from the old street anyway, because they haven't started destroying
it yet.
Well,
it's like the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, but Berlin Wall has been destroyed. The quarry set is still there to the end of the year, that's what I'm saying. But I think that it did make me think about what they're actually going to do with all the old bits of set when they do demolish it, like next January or whatever.
I've said to them, can I please have the Rovers sign, and they said yes.
No, that's not true. I wonder whether will they try and just sell it off on eBay? I mean, will it be sold for charity, which is quite likely? Will it be put into a museum, which is also not unlikely to happen? But there are little things, just like the bricks. I mean, it is just a brick at the end of the day, but I reckon that lots of fans would quite like to have a bit of cobble or something.
Oh yeah, I mean,
or a bit of a plate, what's it called on the front of the Duckworth house? The stone cladding.
Oh my
bit, a bit
god.
Of blue square.
What do you want?
I think a cobble would be pretty awesome, to be honest.
What would we do with it?
I don't. That's the thing. I don't know what I would do with the cobble if I had one.
I want to extend the patio.
So a bit of patio, maybe.
Bit of crazy paving.
Yeah, I was just trying to think what would be a good thing to have from the
a
set.
Door.
I mean, anything. Yeah.
A cabin sign.
Oh yeah, that'd be this calling boy outside the cabin. That's one of the things that's would fetch a high price if they auctioned it, wouldn't it? Or
they shouldn't auction it. They should give it away to dedicated fans.
They definitely should do that.
Yeah.
There'd be so many cobbles to go around, wouldn't there? I can't remember how many said that are on them.
There's at least three, I think.
Yes, at least.
Well, there's two now because Ian McKellen's got one.
Yeah.
Right, that's that story.
What would you like, listeners, from the?
Let us know.
From the old set. That has got me thinking.
You're milking,
but I haven't got a very good answer.
This story, and it was basically a guy got given a piece of
piece
rock.
Of rock.
Right, next storyline. I mean, next news piece. Corey Quizzings.
Yes, Compare the Meerkat has started a new Corey quiz, and it seems to be something that they're going to be doing every week. So they sponsor Coronation Street over here in the UK, if you didn't know. And they are... they're giving away things. For example, this week they had a competition where you could win a goodie bag, which included a mug, a cushion, a letter from Alexander the Meerkat, and a signed Cory photo.
These aren't real meerkats, everybody. They're computer generated, yeah. But it would be cool if they were real.
Even more interestingly, maybe, is that every 4 weeks they are giving away tickets to the Cory tour. So this is running up until October or something. I think the final date is the end of October, when I'm assuming they're going to have another Halloween thing. So do keep an eye on the comparethemarket.com website. You can find the link to it from there, and see what you can win, because there's loads of prizes available. This week's question, by the way, was what item of clothing did Talisa borrow from Julie this week? And your choice was an apron, a pair of socks, a dressing gown, or a snout cosy, which is obviously very important if you're a meerkat to have.
Yes.
The answer is an dressing
gown.
Don't
tell them. Don't.
I think the competition might have closed.
I think
now.
You've basically invalidated.
You jeopardised the whole competition.
It's not fair fight now.
Sorry, did I enter this one? I think I must.
Look, it doesn't matter. You're just milking this for no reason. This is another pointless.
You
storyline.
Tell us about this last one, though. You found this one.
I mean, news piece. The final news piece is on the 25th of June, which is next Thursday. Bruce Jones is going to be on a programme on Channel 5 in the UK at 8 o'clock called Celebs on Benefits 2.
Bruce I'm Jones. Shocked That's that Les Battersby, isn't it?
I'm shocked that there are two. This is the second programme.
Yeah, the second
this
version.
It's terrible.
Why can't celebrities be on benefits?
No, I'm not.
It's sad that they've fallen from grace that they have
to. Anyone should be allowed benefits if they are eligible. I don't have a problem with benefits at all. I'm not evil. But if Bruce Jones can't get a job...
Well,
he's had so
many problems since he's left Corrie, hasn't he? I mean, with his alcoholism, and then there was that thing where he tried to kill himself and his wife in the car. He's had a really rough time, and it
sounds like a brilliant future employee if you're interested in hiring Bruce Jones.
In some ways, it's difficult to feel sympathy for him, but I've got such good memories of Les on Coronation Street that it's hard not to.
He's one of these guys that you just associate with the character, don't you?
Yeah. Well, the last bit of news that I saw about him was a couple of months ago. He was doing a pub quiz. He was stepping in for somebody to compare a pub quiz somewhere, and he was like really popular, and it filled out the pub.
I know. He just needs a good agent.
This was another thing. Last October, November or something, he and a load of other people were like taking their agent to court because he owes them like £300,000 or something.
That's not fair, is it?
No, it's
not. If the government has to pay him money because he's on benefits, you think, and he should say, look, why don't you, instead of paying benefits, why don't you pay my legal costs to get this guy, this 300 grand off this guy? Mm. Anyway.
Do you know who else is going to be on that programme?
Who?
Lisa from Big Brother, the one who was married to Mario on Big Brother.
Really?
Yeah, they got married, they went through financial problems, they're now divorced, and
no,
now she's
that
living
was a love
in,
that could never die.
I know, and now she's living in some horrible, horrible flat somewhere where she says she's scared to go outside because people vaguely recognise her as that one off the telly.
That's
she's
really
got rats
horrible.
Kind of crawling
no.
around. I feel really bad.
Can
for
I just
her.
Say, though, to anyone who's a celebrity on benefits, let's not forget that this is how J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter. Need I say any more? No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
Let's
have
move
a good
on
idea.
To feedback. It's feedback time, and we've got feedback that Michael's hidden.
Sorry, I need to minimise it.
The first bit of feedback is Michael's favourite feedback.
Yeah, Sally Ann Matthews again. She was it. What was it? She
Well, she tweeted, "I look forward to the next podcast. P.S. Glad your husband is a good washer-upper."
Well, that was in response to us saying how brilliant she was on Monday.
Sally Ann, need I say any more? He's let us both down. You were impressed by him. I was bigging him up. And now we both look stupid, don't we? Because Michael screwed up. You've just disgraced us both.
I like how she's looking forward to the next podcast. I hope we haven't disappointed her by saying... We said only nice things about that storyline at the beginning. And we continued to say lovely things about her all through the episode.
Never stop saying lovely things about Sarah Matthews. That is our tagline.
We probably won't mention her very much anymore because she's not in the programme anymore. It's very sad. But if she wants to be a regular feedback person, if you write into us every week.
You're such a bum licker.
Well, this is the first time we've actually had confirmation that somebody has listened to the podcast. I'm milking it.
No, it's somebody famous because quite a lot of other people listen to it. Like Jane, who said, great podcast. My Life Out Loud moment. Gemma's character of the week, Dan's chin. Gemma's favourite storyline, Simon throwing something at Leanne.
Gemma, you're so funny.
I make myself.
And she
liked
how we mentioned Nando's on the podcast again.
And she says, surely they reward you somehow for all of your product placement.
No, because Nando's does not listen to our podcast.
No, they should do. She said, while I was thinking about my many favourite storylines, I realised that stories that were told pre-internet had a greater impact on me. For example, I cried so much when Raquel and Bette left the street. Now I know that characters are leaving months beforehand, so I have more time to process it and less sadness or surprise when it happens. And the last story that kept me riveted for days was the tram crash.
That was good.
That was a really good point, Jane. We never spoke about that when we talked about our favourite storylines, but really it does make such a big difference.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, for me, I don't think the internet would have any impact on my viewing if I was not doing a podcast.
No, because you don't look at Corrie websites.
I don't look at any Corrie website. I don't look at the soap magazines. I don't look at any UK entertainment websites like Digital Spy or anything that have that stuff on there.
Because I'm in charge of like doing the news and everything, I will
always
see spoilers and things a lot of the time. I still try and avoid them.
But... is when I know somebody's leaving, now I'm very jaded about it. Used to be really upset, especially when Becky was leaving, and get so maudlin about it and like desperately hope it wasn't true and wish they would change their minds or whatever. But now when Michael tells me one of my favorite characters is leaving, I'm like, good, go on then, I don't care.
I know you're really
so when I found out that Maddie was leaving, I instantly just totally cut her off from my heart,
not emotionally invested in her anymore.
So she was dead to me the moment she said she was leaving.
I thought it was interesting, Jane, what you said about Raquel and Bette leaving, because I remember both of them leaving, and I remember knowing about it a while beforehand because it was in the papers back then.
Oh, you're based in now.
And I don't know whether over in like Canada or wherever, are you from Canada, Jane? I can't remember. Whether they had stuff about it in the papers then, or whether how big Corrie even was back like 20 years ago or whenever it was that that happened.
They didn't have but papers
there,
20 years
there
ago.
There were obviously, definitely times. Pigeon. There were times... maybe 30, 40 years ago, where it wouldn't have been reported in the media quite so much. And I would have loved to have been around in a time where there were all these surprises happening. Because there's so many things that have happened that would have shocked us had we not known that they were happening. But it's a really good point to make. And yes, I agree. Which is what we did say. I didn't know that Richard Hillman was going to be driving the characters into the canal. That was a surprise when that happened. And that's turned out to be our best storyline,
well,
hasn't
but
it?
Also, you said, Gemma, go watch this episode. So when I saw it, I was primed.
Yeah.
Right, Rebecca sent us a message. Do you want to read this one?
I'll read this one. Good episode again, as always. I think my fave storylines include Richard Hillman, John Lindsay / Free the Weatherfield one, and like Michael, the Samir storyline, as I was getting into Corrie around the same time. Oh, we were watching at the same
time.
You're
like Corrie
Rebecca.
Twins.
Yeah. I also enjoyed Demon David, especially when he was going out with Tina. I thought you were not a fan of David.
I have no
and
memory
Tina,
of them
you?
Being
I
together.
I thought David and Tina were
I've
brilliant.
I've expunged it from
you
my
definitely
memory.
Did watch it.
I know.
As for living on the street, Rebecca continues, I think I would, like Michael said, like to live... We are Corrie twins, aren't we? We'd like to live where the Websters live.
Oh,
won't
you marry Rebecca then?
Or if not, there, maybe the Platt household, although the past lurks there. Ooh. As for the factory, I think they could make it into a printer's, but make coffee cup sleeves and sell it to the coffee shops outside
of
the street.
And then they could design logos
Why
and
not?
Stuff.
Character of the week, I enjoyed Michael again. Not me this time.
Yeah.
The other Michael.
I'm starting to worry now.
His drunk acting was fun, but I think Jenny stole the show.
Yes.
Lots of agreement with you there, Rebecca.
Yeah, I agree. Karen, she sent us a message saying, I've been trying to say spoiler-free, so I've had to wait 2 weeks to listen to your podcasts. But Karen, how can you keep up with our crazy antics if you don't listen live? She said, it's been driving me crazy not listening right away, but not knowing in advance about Maddie made it all the more sad. Anyway, I just wanted to post another music update. In Audrey's salon, when Maria was trying to explain the Gavin Andy debacle to Kirk, they were playing the song The Riddle by Nick Kershaw. Poor Kirk was so confused. Can I just say, as an aside, that when I was younger, I had such an obsession for 80s music from the UK that I find it amazing that you who live there have never heard of a lot of the songs that I grew up
with. It's mostly me, to be honest, isn't it?
Well,
I want to know
if... my parents raised me on, like, Spando Ballet and Queen and stuff.
Yeah,
so I don't...
Well, I listen to a lot of Queen. I wonder whether Karen has heard of Sonia, who was mentioned in this week's programme. She wasn't exactly the biggest star of the 80s, was she?
What do you mean? Sonia was huge.
Was
I know
she?
Who Sonia is.
She was a little scouse girl, wasn't she?
Scouse girl with big hair.
Yeah. We had two questions of the week this week. I didn't mean there to be two, but it just turned out that way. It was
just
National Beer Day on Monday. Obviously not a festival.
Why is it on
I
a
celebrate.
Monday? What the hell?
I don't know.
This country has already got a problem with drinking, and they make National Beer Day on a Monday when everyone's already depressed.
Have we had National Beer Day before? Is this new?
I don't know.
I've never heard
it's
of it.
It's National Yoga Day.
I thought that
St.
Patrick's Day was National Beard Day.
It's International Yoga Day tomorrow.
Is it? Oh, yes. There's one for Talisa then.
And it's also Father's Day.
So, we wanted to know who you would share a curry drink with.
Miranda said, Frankie Baldwin. I loved her character.
And Jo said that she would love to sit and bitch with Norris. Yeah. That'd be quite fun.
But don't forget, Jo, you'd have to share one with Norris because he only has a half.
Oh, yeah.
Christina says, maybe Kevin. I could remind him about Alison and Baby Jack. Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it, Christina? Steve's in the beer with lovely salty tears.
I was thinking the same as Tyler here. He said he'd love to drink a tomato juice with oil. I wouldn't like a tomato juice. But
you might, because you like gazpacho soup.
Oh, is it just the same? If they just put some gazpacho soup in a glass,
it's exactly the same.
I don't drink, so I would not have a beer with anyone, but I would maybe choose. I don't think I'm intelligent enough to be able to have much of a conversation with Roy. Although he is a bit of a social recluse like me, so we'd probably just sit there.
I don't think Roy's supposed to be particularly intelligent. He's just knowledgeable, which is a completely different thing.
Okay.
Whereas I am both, obviously. Shannon says, definitely Jack Duckworth. He knows his beer and he knows his birds. Pigeons and swamp ducks, that is.
Reagan would say that Blanche would be fantastic, probably for similar reasons as Norris.
And Julie says, Julie! She's so much fun. I know that we would have a lot of laughs.
I think that's Julie that said Julie. I can't remember now whether I just wrote the name twice.
I think you might have done. I don't know.
Oh, somebody said Julie.
Julie.
Maybe. I don't know. Sorry. Who would you like to have a drink
with? You didn't even ask me to prepare me for this.
So, well, I was saying Roy, but then I was also thinking...
Could it be any character?
Any character, past or present. Why?
I love her.
Just so that you can love
her. I love you, Becky. Can we live in the Caribbean together?
I was thinking of somebody who... Because like I said, I'm awful at socialising with anybody. General... I'm terrible, and whenever we do go out to places, I just sit on my phone and then get glared at by Gemma. So yeah. who in Coronation Street would also just sit there on their phone? Zidane. So I'm a bit sad to say that maybe
you and
Zidane
sitting there
and he doesn't drink alcohol.
Yeah,
like
with
me.
A beer in front of you. No thanks.
So I'm sad to say that maybe Zidane would be my ideal drinking buddy, and that's really tragic, I'm afraid.
Tragic,
you
but
said
factual.
Becky, didn't you?
Yeah. Right, question of the week number two. Is this the last we've seen of Jenny? Rebecca thinks, I think she should return in a few years, having recovered from her breakdown, maybe if Rita dies, or is close to dying.
She's never going to die.
She's like the queen. That way, she will have redeemed herself. Either way, some brilliant acting from Sally Ann Matthews, and sorry to see her go.
Sally said, and this isn't Sally, because Rita's so moved, she might be reaching out to her and bringing her into her life. And then Christina said, I think it is, sadly.
No.
If there's any chance of her coming back, I think Rita will start visiting her and eventually agree to let her live with her. So
see,
all three people
what, yeah.
say that Rita's going to be the catalyst
be
for
the
her
one.
Coming back, if she does.
Which is really interesting.
What?
And I think they've laid enough foundation for that to be true.
Yeah, because at the beginning,
this
when Rita was obviously dead against Jenny, I've been really pleased to see her kind of melt her icy heart towards Jenny over the months.
I think she really warmed to her kind of straight away, but she was protecting herself by not even acknowledging it.
Well, Norris and everyone was like not particularly helpful, were they?
No.
Because she was one of the first people to kind of melt about her. I think that's a good way of bringing her back through Rita. But I just think it would be crazy not to bring her back. And I've said this before.
Well, like Jenny,
this was
Jenny
obviously,
Bradley crazy.
This was obviously made as a 5-month-long storyline. Stuart Blackburn said, oh, this would be quite interesting. Let's have Jenny Bradley back. 5 months, she can go crazy, have some drama on her roof, and there we go, there's a storyline tied up.
Drama on
her
roof.
But surely, as this has progressed, and everyone's seen how brilliant she is for the show, they really, really, really need to get her back.
Sally Ann Matthews got more stuff going on in her life than Coronation Street, you know. She's going to Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But there was a behind-the-scenes interview on ITV.com, wasn't there, this week? And she just was saying at the end, oh, is this the end of Jenny Bradley? Oh, well, we just had to wait and see. As if she knows something.
She knows something. She's not going
to
tell us.
I took that to mean she knows something. And I really, 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 really hope that she does.
But... isn't it nice to think, could she come back or not, rather than knowing? I quite like this.
Yeah, I wonder whether the live episode might be good to bring her back in. Although there's a risk if that happens, and she'd be brought in, do something crazy again for live stunts and viewers or whatever, and then that'll be the end of her.
No, she can heroically rescue Rita.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's what will help her endear herself. Because everyone's going to be dead against her, and she's going to have to do through the whole process of, oh, I'm really nice, really.
I'm really nice, just because I kidnapped
Because she
children.
Was nice, but there were a few... I mean, recently, the last few months, all she's been is just a bit crazy about Jack. But I know there were scenes earlier on with
Kevin. And he's such a cute kid, I really understand why.
There were scenes with Kevin earlier where she was just like a nice, normal girl, wasn't she? Like, do you remember when they had the was it the butler auction, and she was there getting a little bit drunk and everything, and they were betting, they were, and she was going against somebody, and she seemed to fit in really, really well there. But
she
most
wanted to bid on Sally, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But and everyone kind of had accepted her as part of the street. So that was one of the few stories or kind of scenes that she'd be in where she did get to interact with the others, because very much it was her with Kevin, Jack, Sophie, Maddie, Rita, Norris, and she didn't really have anything to do with anyone else on the street. So I would like her to come back and be integrated into it a little bit more. I think that she probably could go back with Kevin, because she has made Kevin interesting again, which he hadn't been for a little while, I think. They didn't really know what to do with Michael Lavelle when he came back in the programme last year. So bring her back for Rita, maybe. Back with Kevin eventually. He'll grow to accept her, and then they are new power couple of the street. That is what I want to happen. Stuart Blackburn, ITV.
They'll listen to us, so it's going to happen. Although you really screwed up the whole Cal Jamila storyline. Guys, what I'm saying. Right, if you want to email us some hot tips, secret Sally and Matthews tips, email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or visit us at conversationstreet.podbean.com and leave us a message. Find us on iTunes, Skype and Facebook by searching Conversation Street, or you can find us on Twitter at Conversation Street.
Or Periscope. We've had about 5 more people on Periscope.
Why do
this week.
Yeah, but we're not doing
We're not doing anything. Just building up the people on Periscope that are following us.
So our debut is even more exciting than it would have been.
Yeah. Right. Lots to do. Curry night tonight. And
it's curry night.
Yeah, we're not
really.
Yeah. What happened with that storyline?
Well,
they
ruined that because I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, Roy and his curry. They've got to bring that back. Anyway,
see
you next week, everyone. Oh, next week we're going to be doing a rundown of 2015 so far in our little special feature. So if you've got anything you'd like to tell us about what you've thought so far about the first 6 months of 2015 for Coronation Street, now's your time to get your comments in. And we'll be talking about that soon. So until then, ta-ra for now.
Goodbye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.